Hi, my name is Daniel Martinez, host of the Hype With Us podcast. I have guest host Anthony Gona here out of San Antonio, and our featured speaker today is Matt Larson. What part of the country are you from, Matt?
From the Midwest, I'm currently in Illinois at my lake house.
Illinois. I hate Illinois. I grew up outside Chicago. And I lived there for 22 years of my life, and I left and never went back.
Chicago's a lot different than where I'm at right now, but it's about 3 hours from there, so.
And so that's past Joliet. You're probably in Springfield.
No, not quite that far. So I'm about 35 minutes away from Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, Peoria. Okay, that was my second guess. If you're far enough south down in Illinois. I've done a lot of stuff in that area, and it's just been interesting. But we're not here to talk about that. Lake House is dope. I've heard an interview with you probably, it's got to be at least 3, 4 years ago. And that's kind of how a circle makes its way full circle. And I'm happy you're here. Let's talk a little bit. How long you been in real estate? Real quick, not 20-minute version, but let's kind of start there, and then we'll work our way into the conversation.
So, yeah, you guys just lead me on how long you want me to go, but I've been in real estate. This is my 19th year.
Okay, wow. There you
I don't
go.
know. I don't know if you want me to give some background or whatever it is. You just tell me what you want me to.
I mean, what'd you do blue collar before this?
Yeah, so I was a machine. So I got out of high school and tried to go to college, went to college for one semester. They told me after that semester I couldn't come back. So I was 19 years old, went to work in a machine shop, and because it was like the only place hiring at the time. This is like in the early 90s, and there wasn't like the economy was pretty bad. And so I went to work for this machine shop, and I did that all the way from 19 till my early 30s.
Oh wow. So you're like machining parts?
Yeah, like so we live in that was John Deere country, right? So
Okay.
yeah, so we were making parts for John Deere.
Ah, so very
Right.
handy.
So I think a lot of people watching this they might know who you are, right? You're a recognizable figure in the space. So how do you go from machining parts to like owning warehouses and flipping houses? I mean, there's a lot of years in between there, but
little jump.
I never pictured that it would end up like that. None of us really know what's possible until we get going. But it's just one of those things where I always kind of tell this story, and it kind of maybe kind of fixes the foundation of why I did what I did. But I started, so we always blame stuff on a girl, right? Like it's always a girl's fault. So
For
I
sure.
got into real estate at 26. At 26 years old, I started dating this girl. And here I am, a machine shop worker, and she's a doctor, literally, way out of my league. And I dated her for 4 years. And after 4 years in, I'm working 12-hour shifts at this machine shop. I'm coming home, completely covered in oil grease, no air conditioning at 100 degrees temperature all day outside. And you can only imagine how bad the smell was. And so I come home one day, and she told me that she wanted to break up. And this is my first and only real love at this point. So I started 26. This is now 30. She says she wants to break up with me. And I was like, why? And she said, because I want to date somebody with status, somebody that makes money. And so I didn't know how to make money. I didn't know, I didn't, well, first of all, social media wasn't a thing. So it's like, could pop on Facebook and see people making money. That didn't exist. And I didn't know any rich people. Everybody I hung out with was broke. I didn't know that the self-help section was even a thing in a library or a bookstore. And so I was always told, if you want to make more money, by my dad, that you have to work more hours. And I was working the max hours you could do. And so all of a sudden, I'm living in a 300 square foot apartment. Literally, I could almost touch the walls of my apartment if I stretched out my hands. And my rent was $275 a month, and I'm heartbroken, and I'm like depressed, and I'm trying to figure out how to make money, because I don't know how to make money. And I back then, so my bedroom and living room were the same room because this place was tiny. So I used to leave my so funny how I never even watch TV now, but back then I left my TV on all night, and I'm laying there at night. And I wake up, or I'm having trouble sleeping because I'm so stressed out. And this information commercial comes on TV, and it's this guy talking about flipping houses without making money or without putting money down. And I was thinking, for some weird reason, my parents had never bought a house. I had never bought a house. I didn't really know anybody that owned their own house. Everybody I knew rented. But for some weird reason, I thought maybe I could do it. And I bought, I never bought anything off of, I literally didn't like buy stuff off of infomercials, but I bought the books that they were selling. I paid for rush delivery. I got these books. I wasn't a reader at all. And I get these books and I'm convinced that I'm going to do this. And it was crazy because in the next 30 days, I did my very first deal. Keep in mind, there's no social media. You know, there's just nothing like that out there. I didn't know all my friends thought this is never going to work. So within the first 12 months, I did 12 deals. The second year I did 10. By the third year, I did 19 deals. 2008 hit. So 2008 rolls and I'm like still working. But I decide in November of 08, when everybody's like unemployment is skyrocketing, the world's coming to an end, the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And I call my boss in November 7th, 2008, I call my boss and tell him, listen, I want to put in my 2 weeks notice, but I'd rather today be my last day. And I took my portfolio from 30 houses in 08 to 450 properties by 2013. And I'm one of the guys that learned a lot between 05 and 08, you know, punched it out and just made it work while I'm working 60 hours a week. And then the crash hit and just completely took advantage of the opportunity because now I have all my time. I'm not putting 12 hours a day in a machine shop. I'm putting it all into real estate. And I did a lot of wholesaling. I did a lot of fix and flip. I did a lot of rental properties during that time period. So not only, I mean, the 450 houses was a small fraction of what I did. That was what I built. But I was making seven figures in wholesaling too. On top of that, net seven figures. I had $1 million in cash in my bank. We're talking in 2008, I had $20,000 saved up. In 2005, when I got in real estate, I was negative $25,000-ish in credit card debt. By 2013, I had $10+ million net worth. I think it was probably closer to 20 back then. I had $1 million in cash and I was making $1 million a year in income.
Hey, can I ask a question right now? I got a marketer's brain, man. That is tremendous. So I'm thinking, okay, there's no internet, right? Mm-hmm. What the heck are you doing to get so many
leads? There's internet. There's internet.
What I mean, like the way we use it today with Facebook.
No. Way harder back then. Way harder. This is easy today. This is easy stuff.
Where are all these properties coming from? That was a tremendous jump in a time when everybody was jumping out. So were you picking up foreclosures at the auction or where was that volume coming from?
Right now, the best deals at the top of the market, the best deals are found off market. During a crisis like that, the best deals are found on the MLS.
Whoa.
So I was still doing direct to seller marketing, direct mail, bandit sign, stuff like that. But I was buying a lot off the MLS too. And it's like your marketing. So I always explain it to people do you guys golf by chance? I'm not a big golfer, but I like to explain to people it's like golf. Right now, when you talk to a seller, you're on a 550-yard par five. Mm-hmm. You hit the ball as hard as you can. It goes down 280 yards. You still have four more swings to get that ball in the hole. Very difficult. As the market drops, it goes from par fives to par fours to par threes to eventually at the bottom of the market, like in 08, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's mini golf. That's easy. So you just tap it in there. So that's the difference is a lot of people don't like, I've been in this going on 19 years. I got an opportunity to make a huge amount of money in a very short amount of time playing mini golf. But I learned the game with par fives in 05, 06, 07. That was way harder back then than even the top of the market this time.
So I like this this kind of framework too, because everybody talks about like the recession is kept like a wave. And I feel like you only need one wave to set your life up the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different waves every 7 to 10 years. So if you catch that right wave at the right time, you can go from 450 houses. That's crazy. Well,
that's why I tell people, I see a lot of, and I'm not in this game to argue with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, every day some 25-year-old tells me I'm an idiot on social media that I don't know what I'm talking about, even though I did my first 1,000 deals and he was still in junior high.
Get him. Get him.
But the bottom line is you should be scaling your portfolio during a downturn, not during an upswing. So, you know, if you're going to scale during the upswing, like we are now, it'll take you 10 years to build a portfolio that you can build in 2 years doing it in the downturn.
You feel like this is an upswing right now?
Well, it's already at the top and it's come back down over the last 2 years, but it's still pretty high, you know? But what I'm saying is like a lot of people scaling their portfolios in the last 3 and 4 years. That's when like the big push happened. And I'm like trying to tell people, listen, you're making this thing way too hard. Scale your portfolio during a downswing. You'll just do 10 years of work in 2 years. So that's the difference. Like I'm very patient. Like I haven't, you know, I had 450 houses. I sold 350 of them off during the very top of the market. I didn't time it perfectly, but I got close. I couldn't sell them all because I had too many and I would have crashed the market if I would have sold them all at one time. But the bottom line is I'm not buying any rentals right now. Why would I? I know what's happening next, and the next, like I don't want to work any harder than I have to. As you get older, you try to protect your energy. Like when you're younger, you're trying to figure out how to make money. When you get older, you're trying to figure out how to get a multiple on your energy. And then the money comes easy. The money's like oxygen. Like you don't like, okay, you know, I don't think about like, am I going to run out of oxygen in this room right now? So it's just one of those things where don't make life hard. Buy when everybody's selling and sell when everybody's buying.
Man, I love it, dude. Okay, going through this growth phase again, are you using private capital, seller finance? Like how did you manage to accumulate so many houses? Was it partners or what'd you do? So
I don't do private money. I don't do syndication. I don't do like any of that. So what I did was I brought on some partners, 50-50 partners, and I'll do the work, find the deals, we'll split the profit, you put up all the cash. That's the easiest way to scale. You can scale way faster doing that, even beyond like private money, in my opinion. Because I always see people that borrow private money always asking for private money. Like that's like a never-ending cycle. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just get a really good partner that has a lot of cash and you're making them a fortune, they figure out how to go get the money, right? It's just easier. So I did a lot of 50-50 partnerships, but what happened was my balance sheet and my financials were growing fast. And when you're making $1 million a year net on taxes and you have $1 million plus in cash and you have a, you know, 8-figure net worth, during 2010-11, I go to the bank and I just say, I want to like, think about the time frame. Banks were collapsing. Unemployment was high. And I'm going to the bank 5 years prior. I got into real estate 5-6 years. I'm saying, I want to buy houses and put no money down. How much do you need, Matt? Because back then, and even now, most real estate, if you ask a banker, tell me about the average real estate investor that you do loans with. They're going to say they're broke. They don't have any cash. Mm-hmm. So I did the thing that was the opposite. I did a whole bunch of wholesaling, which brought in fix and flip, which brought in a lot of cash, tucked some of that away. And I went through the phase. Guys, I grew up broke. My parents were on food stamps occasionally growing up. When I started making like real money, you know, I was buying Rolexes every week, and I got a fantastic Rolex collection. I never wear them. I got my Apple Watch on now, but I was paying cash for Lamborghinis, you know, Rolexes, $15,000 bottles. Like, you don't want to do any of the stuff I was doing. I was making so much money, it didn't matter.
How old were you at that time?
Like 33, 34. But I'd never had money in my life. And so when I started making money, I was spending it. You know, we were talking, I was living big. The cool part was I was still smart enough. I'd go burn 20 grand on a Rolex and bottle service and whatever. And I'd still tuck 20,000 that week into a savings account, you know? So I was spending it, but I was also smart enough to save a lot. I was just making a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds like that's about the perfect age to go cycle through some cash and have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't do, I'm not like that anymore. I really don't even hardly leave my house, you know, now. I'm 48 now. So it's like, it's a little different situation, but you know, everybody goes through that phase at one point. You know, I had fun, but you know, I have different fun now.
Yeah. Same for me, man. In my 20s, I was a general contractor and I did go through a lot of cash. I always had big projects going on, and now 42 now. Yeah. And I do a lot of quarterbacking from the house, less excited to go out and do a Vegas trip or something. Like, now I'm just from home, hanging out with the kids and the wife, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good. I think maybe it's fun to go through that phase, but I'm glad that phase is over. I don't have anything to prove anymore. You know, I don't need to prove anything.
So, what are you doing these days, man? Like, are you just more investing? Are you still actively like acquiring? You said you're not doing much acquiring. You're waiting for a downturn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a wholesale operation. The other thing is you get older and you get smarter. I got over 4,000 deals under my belt. So like, I understand how the whole thing works. So most of, like, right now I just wholesale mainly, and I do probably, I don't know, 5 fix and flips a month, something small. I don't do much of that anymore because I don't want at my peak I was doing 80 deals a month, and that's a lot of projects to manage, and you don't want to get caught in a downturn with that many projects in flow. So I slowed that way down, knowing that what I think is going to happen in the next couple of years. So I'm just trying to be prepared and not get crazy. But the cool part is my wholesale operation, I only put 2.5 hours a month into that business.
Wow.
So all my whole wholesaling operation is all run by virtual assistants. My 2.5 hours a month is kind of broken up kind of like this. So I do 30-minute meeting a week. It's scheduled for 30. We're usually done in 20. I check my KPIs twice a day between my leads that are coming in and my offers that are going out. Then I check my end of the week report on offers accepted, and I meet with a mobile notary once a week, and we sign all my contracts for the week, and then that's it. That's my, I don't determine how much we offer on houses. I don't get involved with what we're selling them for. I don't talk to sellers. I don't talk to buyers. I don't do any of it. I don't even log into I got 200 grand invested in my Podio system, and I don't log into it ever. My team runs all that. And I just close deals.
That's amazing.
Sounds like retirement.
I can tell you this. My wholesale operation is way more passive than anybody I know's rental portfolio, including my own. It's way easier to set up a passive income stream or semi-passive income stream wholesaling than it is through rental properties.
That's amazing. And I'm guessing you carved that model out by yourself, right? You didn't buy anybody's guru course?
No, yeah, I just did it on my own. I get a lot of people that copy. Like, there's a lot of things happening in the industry, especially right now, like people copying all my stuff. But, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, that happens. You got to expect some of that, you know.
It's flattery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flattery mixed with theft.
Yeah, it's annoying, but, you know, it's going to happen.
Are you doing any like speaking gigs or any coaching or anything like that? Or are you just pretty much just quarterbacking from the house?
So I started, it's kind of neat because in 2019 is when I went completely virtual and I kind of had every position kind of filled. And I was laying on my couch every day, basically getting fatter by the minute, not doing anything. And one of my mentors is like, hey man, like what do you like? We went on this. We rented this 160-foot yacht for a week.
Wow.
Down in the Caribbean, and I never checked a single email all week or a text message even. I never had to do any of that because my team was running everything. And so he was like, people notice that when like everybody else is busy on phone calls here and there, and then like I'm just like hanging. And he's like, what do you do all day? And I'm like, I pretty much just couch surf, take it easy. I need to like find something to do. And he's like, you ought to get into education. And I was like, man, I don't think I could do education. I don't think I could sell anything. And he's like, I think you'd probably do pretty good. So I didn't have, so this is like in 2019 in December, I decided to start a real estate education business in January of 2020, but I don't have any following on social media. I've never done, at this point, I've never done a selfie or a video of myself ever. Never done it. January of 2020, never done it.
Wow.
No email address, no email list, no social. If I post on social, I got like 2 likes and 1 comment, and the comment was somebody making fun of me, and no products to sell. And I started in January of 2020. I didn't really do anything until like, because I didn't know what I was going to sell. I didn't do anything until February of that year, but I ended up doing $1,058,000 in sales selling eBooks. Where I didn't do any coaching. I got all those sales for eBooks.
Was this online? Like, were you doing online marketing or just branding or just personal referrals, or how did you get that exposure?
I started talking about it on Facebook and Instagram.
Wow,
and
man.
I started practicing every day and learning how to write copy. And now I really enjoy writing copy. Like, that's like my thing. I've built a little bit of a following online. I've gotten a lot better at writing copy, and so I got really good engagement now. Now if I write something, like, stuff happens. But back then, I didn't really have anything happening. So what I did was I just started messaging everybody. Like, I would, if somebody liked my post, I would go right into the DMs and say, hey man, I appreciate you liking my post. Is there anything I can help you with? Any bottlenecks you got? And it started to grow. And before long, I was getting, you know, maybe 50 or 60, 70 likes. And then you're messaging a whole bunch of people, but activity's happening. So by the end of that year, I had like 8,800 emails that I gathered all for free through producing lead magnets on social media, and people would sign up for the stuff. And then I would just email my eBooks that I was creating, and it ended up doing 7 figures at 89% margin.
Damn, dude, that's incredible, man. Hey, do you have a link or something like that we can put in the show notes below this video?
My website is realestatematt.com.
Yeah, I got it. I had it ready on the other platform, but we're not there.
So what other types of products and services do you have that you offer?
So when I, the first product I created, because I was sitting at my house. It was like January of 2020. I was like, man, I got to come up with something to sell. But I didn't want to sell like a wholesaling course because everybody has those.
Yeah.
So I was thinking like one day, I was like, man, what can I sell? And I was on the couch and I was like thinking about stuff. And I was like, man, I love these virtual assistants I've been hiring, and it's great because my business runs on virtual. I'm like, I really went on a deep search to find other people's virtual assistant products. So I went on this deep search online on Google, and I found my thought was, I want to buy everybody's virtual assistant products so that I can try to make my team better. And I order like 6 or 8 courses of everybody's stuff, and I bring it all in, and I remember just like sitting there, my master bedroom. I'm looking at all this stuff that I bought, and I'm like, that's crap. That's crap. This is junk. This is not teaching me anything. And I get through everything and it's all junk. It's all crap. And I said to myself, my stuff is way better than this. Because I had built all my own systems and processes that we documented in my own company for my own VAs. As we were growing the business, I was documenting processes so that training them became easy. And I said to myself, man, my stuff is way better than this. And then it hit me. It's like, whoa, that's my thing. Like, that's what I'll sell. I'll sell my processes for my VAs, my step-by-step processes. So I put it together into a like 200 or 300 page ebook, And I put it out there and it freaking, I didn't know how to do a webinar. Somebody said, oh, you gotta do a webinar. So I go online on YouTube and I do a research and I watch this 2 hour long Russell Brunson webinar thing. And I try to do it and it crashes. And I have to tell everybody, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. Meet me tomorrow or one of those things. And they all came back and I sold and I did 13,000 in sales on my first webinar. And I was like, okay, I think I can make some money at this. And then that's what kind of just took off from there.
One of the things I love your story is because you just figure shit out. Like you're like a blind man walking through a snowstorm. You're just like, we'll try it and figure it out. And then
I'll try it. Yeah, I just try it, mess it up.
And what's crazy about this is you just started this 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Now it's 2024. But one of the first stories I heard about you was you were doing so many flips in your market. You had to go start a warehouse business so you can get more product to your team faster and cut out the contracting bidding on the materials. So yeah. like all I'm hearing is like it's very like groundbreaking entrepreneur. And this is one of the things I tell people, like what makes a groundbreaking entrepreneur? They find a problem and they make a solution and then they just hone that solution down to perfection and then they find new problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we created, I'll go back to the mini lows I created in a minute. But I want to finish one thing because what happened was I created all these processes for this virtual assistant and it just did so much in sales. It was nuts. Like, and then my second product was a renovation manual. And the market hadn't seen that before. And I just took the renovation manual that I created for my own project managers when we're doing 80 projects a month. And I'm like, I created a book, a 200 page book so that they could run projects without me having to do it, like teach them. And we sold that. And between those two products is where we did $1 million in sale. Ebooks. Like,
that's crazy.
I didn't know about, like, one day somebody, like a really good marketer asked me, he's like, how much are you doing? Like, I'm like, I'm doing $1 million. I'm going to do $1 million this year. I'm doing 100,000 a month by the end of the year. And they were like, what about like, are you caught? Like one day some guy, this is how dumb I was. They were like, what about like upsells? What's your upsell funnel look like? I'm like, what do you mean upsell funnel? I didn't even know what that meant. They're like, yeah, when somebody buys something from you, you can offer them something else and they'll buy that too. I'm like, I never did any of that. No upsell funnels, no downsells, didn't know how to do any of it. I wasn't even collecting people's phone numbers. So what happened was one day this guy calls me and he's like, he bought my virtual assistant. It's called Virtually Unemployed. He buys this Virtually Unemployed and he calls me up and he's like, dude, this is the best real estate training I've ever received. He's like, I just love this VA stuff, but he's like, I just don't want to do any of this work. Can I hire one of your VAs? And I was like, I don't know. Let me go back to my team. So I went back to my team like, hey, can we find and train VAs for other people? And they were like, yeah, let's try it. So we did it. And my VA business went to $1 million in 90 days. A million, like it does multi-millions now, but it turns out, what's that?
Do people still subscribe to that right now?
Oh yeah.
Oh dude. Okay. Perfect.
I have 55. This is a stat I pulled last week. I guess the virtual, everybody I talk to is like, oh, you know, I hate the virtual assistant business because it churns every 90 days and you lose all those customers. And I was like, I just don't, that doesn't happen to us. And I pulled the stat cause somebody's like, can't be. Everybody leaves virtual assistants and because they're junk and they leave. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't happen. So I pull the stat. I have my team pull the stat. 55% of the customers that were our customers in 2021 are still our customers in 2024. 55%. And most people don't last 90 days.
That retention is amazing, dude. Over 50%. That's incredible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. So we just do things differently than a lot of people, but that just like started a whole nother business, which I really like the virtual assistant business. I'm one of my best own customers in that company, but yeah. So then if you go back to the mini lows, if that's where you guys want me to head, I can talk about that next. It,
It's dude, not, that's what that's like kind of what I know you for. So I think we should hear it again if that way if our audience has never seen you before.
So in 2016, in 2016, I went to actually let's see in January of 2017, I was buying most of my materials at this one particular Lowe's store in Moline, Illinois. And this is January of 2017. And I used to go into that store like maybe like two or three times a year. And the plant supervisor knew me by first name and face basis. And whenever I came into the store, he would come out of the woodwork and come over to me and shake my hand. And he asked me a question every time. I don't know if he was joking or being for real, but it seemed like he was being real. He'd say, "Hey, Matt, is there anybody I need to fire? Is everybody treating you good?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, everybody's great." But I did 22 million, I'm sorry, 2.2 million at that store in 2016, just at that store, 2.2 million. And he said in this 2017 in January, when I met with him, he's like, you had a really good year. You did 2.2 million with us last year. He knew the numbers. I didn't know the numbers. He told me that was the number. And he's like, he made the mistake of saying, that's 10% of our sales at this store. So I was buying 10% of all the store's top line sales at that store. So I said, my natural instincts was, man, I need a better deal. I'm not like, I'm paying like near retail price. And he's like, no, you don't have to worry about that, Matt. Everybody gets the everyday low price. I'm like, yeah, but the guy that's only doing one kitchen a year is paying within a couple points of what I'm paying. And I was so mad. I left that meeting. I went back to my team and I said, we're building our own mini Lowe's. And I don't know how to build. I didn't have a single person on my team that understood like purchasing on that level or warehousing or like any of that. Like I didn't know any of it. So I call my agent, my commercial agent. I'm like, I need to rent. Like I might have the dumbest idea. I'm probably going to lose a bunch of money because I was really good at trying ideas and losing a whole bunch of money. You know, that was just like, we like R&D. So I said, I better not buy some because I'm probably going to lose a bunch of money, but do you have something? Can you find something that I can rent? So he finds this building and I go rent it, and we rented it for 1 year gross lease. It was like $3,500 a month. And it was like only like 4,000 square feet or something. And I took this gal, her name was Tammy. She ran my accounting and she was like, if any one little penny's missing, she would find it. Like she was just really good. So I told Tammy, I'm like, here's what I want to do. I showed her that space, go build some shelves, have somebody build shelves, and let's take all the SKUs and start bidding it out with all the vendors that we use and see if you can get a better deal. And we're going to quote everybody against each other and then put stuff on the shelf and organize it. That was basically all the direction I gave her. And I got in my car and I drove away and I came back 30 days later and I was like, what the heck is going on? Cause it was completely full. The building was completely full, top to bottom, front to back. She's like, we're out of space. And I'm like, how many more SKUs do we have to buy? She's like, well, we've only got 400 and we needed like 2,500 SKUs. We only have 400. We don't have enough space. But I said, the only thing I cared about is, are we saving money? She's like, we are saving a fortune. We saved 30% here, 45% here. So I'm like, I get in my car, I call my agent and I'm like, I need 20,000 square feet and I need it fast. So we literally that day we needed this building that's 18,000 square feet, and I make a really low offer on the building. They reject the offer, and then my agent says, "Listen, I don't think you're gonna understand. Like this guy's gonna buy either you sell it to him today for this price, or he'll buy it in a year for less because he's seen me buy a lot of stuff over the years, and I always get good deals." So I end up getting this building. It's 18,000, and we built a full blown mini Lowe's, 2,500 SKUs. I had a CAD designer come in and actually build the, you know, order the good shelves, and you know they go up to the ceiling, and they're, you know, is all organized, and it was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet, and I did that for years and years. But what happened was, we ended up saving up to 80% off of what what you would pay for materials at Lowe's, Home Depot.
What?
In fact, one product paid for the building. Every the mortgage and all the overhead was paid for with one product, and that was paint. I was buying Sherwin-Williams paint for a price that you would not even understand. I had the lowest price in the country. In fact, it was funny because me and, you know, Tim Brotz?
Yep.
Me and Tim were buying this 400 unit building, and I joking around because Tim, thousands of units.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm going to get the, he bought Sherwin-Williams paint too. And he's like, I'm going to get the paint quote. And I said, can I quote the paint after you quote it just to see if my price is, oh yeah, you can't get better price than me. I'm doing thousands of units. And my price was to do the 400 units was $250,000 cheaper.
Then he was going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had it like so cheap. I worked these people over so much. Sherwin-Williams was creating oddball to get the business. We were getting paint samples instead of like being like the Sherwin-Williams name on it. They were like XP0205. Like they were creating paint for me to figure out how to get it cheaper to win the business. And so our paint prices were so cheap. It was not even fair. So that one product paid for it, the whole building, but we got so much cheaper along across everything else that it was unbelievable. And I still own that building until June of this year. When I started backing down on the number of rehabs in the last couple of years, we started like the building was kind of starting to turn into ghost town. I had 50 employees in there and all of a sudden we only had like a few and it was kind of a waste, you know? So I got a call one day on the building and the guy was like, hey man, I'll give you a cash offer, no inspections, close in 30 days. And he paid me $500,000 more than the building was worth, which was like $1 million more than what I paid a few years earlier. So I was like, yep, I'll have my stuff out and you can move right in. And so I sold it earlier this, like in June June of this year or June of 2023.
Dude, congrats, man. That's a heck of a story, dude. That is badass.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
But we created our own online store. We had everything intertwined with Podio, our own barcode system. Basically, what would happen is we had it totally tricked out. I mean, it was pretty slick. What happened was, so we had our own online store, like you would go onto Lowe's.com and order from Lowe's. We had that in my warehouse. So what would happen is we would close on a house. One of my project managers would take the scope of work, go online to our site, pick and order all the products. As soon as they hit send, it would go to the warehouse. The warehouse guy would get a notification. He would go pull and pick all the items and then hit the barcodes each time to let the inventory know it was dropping. Then he would hit a button on his phone in the Podio app, and then that would automatically text the contractor that his order was ready. And then the contractor would roll around to the building, hit the doorbell, we'd raise the door, he'd back in, and we would load his stuff, and he's gone. So no lost time on walking the aisle. I mean, how many times you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and you're like a mile long in the morning, there's 14 cash registers and one guy working. None of that. You didn't have to wait in line. You'd have to walk the aisles trying to get your stuff. It was just super streamlined and organized.
Dude, that's amazing, dude. I've been a contractor for almost 40 years. I dumped it a few years ago now that we're doing the big land deals and things are going amazing. You seem like a very like systems oriented guy, man. Kind of like you have like an engineer's brain because you have a way of figuring things out. Is that something that you're doing on your own or do you get consulting from somebody that's in the space already? Or how do you solve all these big problems?
No, I didn't get consulting on any of that. But what I do is I just have the big idea and I just find the people that can put it all, take the idea. Like I'm not engineering minded at all, mm-hmm. but what I do is I get the idea. Like I want to create, when I created the mini Lowe's, I was like, I want to create the mini Lowe's. Here's what I want it to look like. Then I would go find somebody that could go build it and put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, You're the managers and then the quarterback. Quarterback, you kind of put the people in place to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Your level of sophistication is amazing because this story seems unreal to have your own website checkup, but that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Is there something new that you've done that I haven't heard about? Because that's the biggest thing I heard about, and that story is amazing, and I love it, and I'm glad you said it on this podcast. But what are you working on now besides the couch surfing?
No, I made it. So a couple things. I'm focused, I'm really just focused on the hands-off wholesaling model for other people. Okay. So I'm going pretty deep with my VAs, and they're really, really talented. I got a great group. And so my time is spent this year. I set a goal. Everybody, you have to have a goal. And if all you're setting is money goals, then you probably will get bored, or you'll probably maybe not hit them. It's hard to make money goals a thing, I found. But what I did was this year I set a goal to get on 2,000 unique phone calls. So do the math on how many that is a day. If you break it down,
six.
Yeah, it's six. It's if you don't take Sundays out, because I don't work Sundays, you're at 6 to 7 calls every day at 30 minutes a piece. And so last week I did 48 phone calls, unique phone calls, with not counting meetings, not counting calls that I might have done with somebody in something else. But 48 unique phone calls last week. The week before that was 36. The week before that was 36. And that takes a lot of time to do that. And what I decided was this year, I'm doing this epic thing where I'm going to help 2,000 people this year for free, not charging them anything. I just want to solve their biggest bottleneck. Because I went back to, that infomercial that I watched in 2005 for 30 minutes solved my biggest bottleneck. And now I'm going to do 2,000 phone calls this year, which, guys, I'm telling you, I'm working it. That's hard. That's a lot of work doing 2,000. That's 48 phone calls in 1 week. And I have multiple businesses. That's a lot of phone calls. That's a lot of dedication. That's not an easy thing. And I'm going to do 2,000 this year, and I'm documenting the whole thing, and I'm going to see what happens. See what epic, cool things happen out of 2,000 unique phone calls, 2,000 different people in 1 year. I want to see what happens.
This is just a passion project, helping people, just giving back, or
I get frustrated because everybody's a big shot online now, and everybody's a big shot and they're making millions and all this. But nobody will help anybody without having their hand out. Pay up, give me money. And my thing is if you're a big shot, you can afford to help a few people for free.
Absolutely.
I love that, dude. And I think that's our core business. We do okay. I think we're just starting to get into our stride now, but we give back a lot, man. We help a lot of people just because it feels good and it's important to us. And I hope we never lose that.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. It's only the third week in January, and I started this in January 1st. I was on phone calls all day, January 1st, New Year's Day. I've been on phone calls every Saturday, 12 a day. And the feedback that's happening and the impact that's already happening 3 weeks in is unbelievable. Yeah. And I tell everybody, it doesn't have to be real estate. Doesn't matter. I've helped multiple bartenders. Hey, how do I? They see my post on Facebook. Hey, if you need help, I will be able to take the skills I have. Doesn't matter the industry you're in, and I can help you make more money. So I had a couple bartenders reach out, and I helped them learn. I taught them quickly how to write some copy and post on social media. I have this free social media course that's probably worth a couple grand that I just give away to people, and it teaches you how to 10x your engagement and all that. And so I've had bartenders I'm getting 8 new customers a day, which is giving me hundreds a week. I'm getting those. I'm helping people in cleaning businesses massively increase the number of bids they're getting and winning. I helped another kid that's a project manager, a GC, and he's like, I got no business. I got nothing coming. I don't know what to do. I have no money. And I told him, do these four things. And all of a sudden, a week, 10 days later, he's like, I can't believe it. I got more work than I can deal with. So I'm helping real estate people, of course. I get a lot of real estate calls, but I'm helping in any industry. I don't care what the industry is. You get a hold of me, you send me a DM on social media, I will help you.
Dude, it's amazing. I want to test to this right now. You did message me on January 4th at 8:11 and said, I appreciate the follow. I'm here to assist. And what's the main thing slowing you down right now? So you are walking the walk, man. So that's freaking amazing of you, dude. I didn't know if that was a bot or what.
I do have some people helping me with my DMs, only not so much back then, but this thing's blowing up. So it's like, I'm getting to the point where there's so many DMs coming in that it's hard to handle. So yeah. I have my team like putting them in emails, building spreadsheets so that we can keep like track of everything. But if you DM me on Facebook, it'll be me that responds. And I send my link over. We get on a call with people. I've had the same cell phone number for 20 years. I'm calling people on my cell. Nobody does that. People like, you got to use a VoIP phone. You don't want people. Like, no, I've had the same phone for 20 years. I'm not worried about somebody like bothering me. Like, I'll call you from my cell. It was so funny. Everybody's like, I get on a call with them and they're like, is this your phone number? I'm like, yeah. And I've had that same phone number for 20 years. And I'm just like, you find another influencer to do that. They won't. All these jokers are like, they're using like these fake phone numbers and saying, text me. Like, no, I'm really texting you. I'm really calling you. I'm going to prove that this business is like the education space is a respectable space, that there's too many jokers out there. And the other thing that's going to happen is like, if you're not real, I'm going to take your business from you, because I'm going to take it from you and I'll take it from you and for free. I do a thing called the Deal Lab every week. It's $47 for the month. I used to charge like $400 or $500 for it. I got up one day and like, a lot of people can't afford that. So I'm just going to lower it down to $47. And I have people quitting I won't mention the names, but you've heard them all. I have people quitting 15, 20. I got a testimonial last week of a guy who quit a $50,000 mastermind because Deal Lab's better, $47. So I'm growing this Deal Lab. I didn't even promote it for 2 years. I kept it the same group of people, but it's exploding now. It's like when people log on, it's nuts. So I do that really cheap just to keep, you know, just to make it so anybody can learn real estate education. And it's been pretty wild, man. I tell you, it gets overwhelming when you start seeing people reach back out and say, man, you helped me so much. I had a kid yesterday. He's in dire straits and he's like, I got these two deals. I can't get them sold. I don't know what to do. I got no money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And I get him on a call and he's got every penny he's got. He's got nothing left. He's got every penny in these deals. He needs to get them sold and they haven't sold for 3 months.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me those addresses. So I get online and I look it up and I start running comms for him while I'm on a call. And I'm like, dude, this one, you got to lower this one down. It's not going to sell at the price you're at. You got to put it at 180. Still making money. Yes. And so I repriced two of both of his properties. And that was the first week. That was like in the first week of January at one point, I think late in the week. And he called me yesterday to let me know both are pending. And he's got 90 grand coming in the third week of February.
It's amazing. That's a superpower, man, dude. That's freaking amazing. I didn't know you were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you're inspirational. I love that you're making your $47. You're almost inspiring me to lower it down to $47. Not that I'm gonna compete with you.
No, I think you should put it at whatever price that you feel is right. I just think that so here's my thing. It's like, geez, man. It used to be you could do these monthly things and they were $100. Then all of a sudden they were $200. Then they were $300. Then they were $500. Now they're $1,000. And I'm like, I'm going the opposite. I'm going down. I'm going to lower mine down and show people, like, listen, $1,000's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
You know, you're cutting out all the people like me 18, 19 years ago that couldn't afford that. You know, I paid $37 for the book that I bought with Rush Delivery back then. That's the person I'm going
to
help.
Dude, that's amazing, man. I think now I'm thinking Daniel and myself need to get on this call now. I'm sure we got a lot of bottlenecks and holes in our game that could easily be patched.
I can tell you this. I've had like 11 or 12 seven-figure wholesalers join the Deal Lab this year in January, and the feedback they're telling me, unbelievable.
I'm in. We're in, dude. This is amazing. Yeah. I knew this was going to be a good interview, but I mean, this is really, really good. This is the good stuff. And this is what we try to get to in our podcast, is like to the core of stuff. Cause we've heard the I started poor, now I'm rich spiel. But when you get to stuff like this, man, this is really exciting. It's heartwarming and it's awesome. It makes podcasting fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm having this 2000 call thing. Like, guys, I've had it easy for the last few years. Like, life's been good. I got a couch right there. I've worn that couch out. I've laid on it so much. I've had it very easy. I haven't had to work that hard. And I set this goal this year with these 2,000 calls, and I'm freaking working. I'm working it 6 days a week. And I'm working Sunday to catch up on emails that I don't get to during the week. And I tell you, it's bringing me back to the day when I first got into real estate and how hard I had to work in addition to my job in order to do all of it. But it's so fun because I won't let myself fail. I'm going to do the 2000. And every time I get tired and I'm sitting down, I look at my schedule for a 30-minute spot and I post and I fill that spot. There's no rest. Like, there is no rest. I mean, I was doing 30-minute calls. And I didn't have time to eat or go to the bathroom between my calls. So I had to switch it to 25 minutes. But dude, it's stacked one after another, after another, after another. And I'm working. Like, it's pretty fun. I can't wait to see what happens at the end of the year. It's going to be epic to go through.
How are you documenting this? As far as like you're recording each call, or are you recording?
No, I'm not getting that detailed. I keep notes on every call.
Okay.
Notes. With each person, I keep notes. And the cool thing is, you know, I don't remember every single person that I talk to, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But they message me and then I have to go back to my notes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that. And they remember me. That's the thing is something's going to happen. And someday, I don't know if it's in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, something's going to happen. And they're going to remember when they messaged four other gurus, four other influencers, and the guy said, yeah, I'll help you if you pay me. And they're going to say, I got to the fifth guy and he helped me. That's going to happen. And I'm just so sick and tired of people going online saying, you can't pick my brain. You know, I'm just like, okay, you don't want somebody to pick your brain, send them over to me. I'll help them.
Dude, that's legacy right there, man. Dude, congrats, man. And I appreciate you. That's freaking amazing. Yeah, that's something that we do all the time, Daniel, myself. We help a lot of new kids. And sometimes they just, can you look at this deal? Let's do it. I don't know who they are. Some girl, I still don't know who she is at all. She messaged me a deal from Florida. I have it in my phone. I'll send you a screenshot after this. It was like 2 days ago. She's asking me to help her look at a deal. And I said, hey, do you have the LandGlide app? She said, I don't. And she said, I'm a little tight on cash right now. And I said, send me your Cash App. I'll send you $10 to pay for your first month of LandGlide. I don't even know her name.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
I just want to give her a freaking deal. $10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. That's the stuff that, like, I don't know. What? You know, you get a lot of people that are, you know, I don't know. I think you feed them, you know, you can feed somebody a little bit. You know, people are giving big tips. You see a lot of people on Facebook, oh, I tipped $100 or whatever, $1,000. And that's great. I love that. That's awesome. That helps that family. But if you can feed somebody and teach them how to fish, then you can pay them that $1,000 tip forever, maybe, you know?
Love that, dude. I think we're going to call this episode Paying It Forward Forever. That is so cool, dude. That's awesome.
I was going to ask you what impact means to you, but what is the impact of the future? Because I know we don't have, we know we all have expiration date. And what impact do you want to make on the world?
You know, I think about, you know, I'm 48 now, and not that that's old, but it's different than from when I was 38. You know, I've lost a lot of people I know in the last 5 years, lots of older friends that I had, other like people that are no longer here, you know, 10, 15 Facebook friends, you know, in the last couple of years. And so you start thinking about, you know, we're only here for a minute, you know. It's not that long. And so I just want to be, I don't have to have any accolades. I want to help people, but they don't have to remember it. They don't have to thank me for it. It's just for me. It's helping me as much as it's helping them. It might be helping me more. Mm. You know, does it feel good when somebody says thank you? Yeah, but I'm not doing it for that. A lot of these calls, I help people and I give them like real action steps that they can go do right now. And they always say, like, a lot of people, not everybody, but most of them are saying, like, hey, man, it's so helpful. What can I do for you? Really nothing. You know, you can go do what I'm telling you to do and then send me the results. Like, I want to see that. But other than that, I'm really not doing it for any reason. You know, I think people need to, you know, I am pushing a lot of people into the Deal Lab because it's so cheap and I know they can afford it and anybody can. I feel like you need to keep people going. You give them a little bit of momentum. I don't want to do 10 phone calls this year 200 times. I want to do 2,001 one call things. And then from there, you're giving somebody a good little push, but that momentum will die. So if I can get them into my Deal Lab, then, and not, it doesn't make sense for some of these people like bartenders and people that are in cleaning business like that. Yeah. The Deal Lab wouldn't do them a lot of good, but for the right people, it would, and it'll keep that momentum going and help them stay on track. Cause we all need like outside force helping push us, you know?
No, I agree, man. Yeah, I think that's kind of our similar business models. Like they have to be here long enough to gather enough of the information to do it. And they could learn in one or two meetings, but yeah, you need that ongoing information. Super cool. Man. I think your whole business model and I think your whole vibe kind of just matches with us and our business model, what we're building in our community. So this is a perfect addition, man. This is freaking amazing. I know we're about that hour point right there. You want to do your quote wrap up, Daniel, and then maybe the deal breakdown?
So I always ask this, what is a quote that is yours or somebody else's that you resonate with?
I like the quote Ben Franklin said, and I'll paraphrase, I don't think this exactly, but he said, he who invests his person to his mind can never be robbed. You know, I think that you need to invest up here, you know, because no matter what happens, you can lose everything, you can get it all back.
Absolutely.
I love that, dude. Yeah, yeah. The capital's here now. And that's something I think we're experiencing now too. We had a couple of hits that we took last year, and it's like, man, we bounced right back and bought a big ranch right after it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing, dude. This is probably one of the podcast episodes we've ever done, dude. Thank you for being on here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
For everybody here, go like, share, subscribe. We'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, Matt.